The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org.
Become a monthly $25 contributor or an annual $250 donor, and we'll send you a flash drive of Pastor Whedon's broadcast transcripts. Learn more on the support page at thewordendures.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon.
The one flesh union from its foundation is intended to live inside marriage, but in sinful rebellion, you can twist it from its God-given setting and use it in a way God never ever intended, and that doesn't vitiate what it is.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Whedon is leading us in a study of the book of 1 Corinthians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Greetings, people loved by God. Bumper sticker theology, corrected by Paul last time, remember? They said, all things are lawful for me. He asked, yeah, but how helpful are they? Do they dominate you? Do they bring you back to slavery? It's not that he believed that there'd ever be a time when the battles against the passions of the flesh would be history, at least not till their bodies died and were raised in incorruption, but that the gift of their baptism to them was that they no longer had to be slaves to their desires, to their lusts. Another slogan, food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. In other words, itches were meant to be scratched. Natural appetites can't be bad because God created them. But Paul shows that they can be very broken, and a desire that in itself is not wrong can be wrongly pursued. He moves from food to what I think he really wanted to get to, sex. Remember the fire in the fireplace. Sex is meant for the marriage bed, and that's where the desire implanted in nature is supposed to be satisfied. But he makes an odd move there at the end, reminding us that our very bodies are actually for the Lord. He's joined us to himself, and we and our bodies and souls and spirits, we belong to him. We're not a masterless people. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at the 15th verse. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never! Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 15 to 20. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit so to fear and love you, that we may lead a chaste and decent life in what we say and do, and that husbands and wives would love and honor each other. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig into the word for today? Let's do this, verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. So, do you think the members of the Corinthian congregation were actually doing that, resorting to the use of prostitutes, sex favors in exchange for payment? It is possible, But our trusty guide, St. John Chrysostom, told his congregation in 4th century Antioch that he thinks it was a shock tactic. Listen. He speaks in graphic terms about the prostitute in order to startle his hearers and fill them with alarm. Nothing could be better suited to strike them with horror than this expression. What Paul is at pains to make them realize is that we really have been joined to Jesus Christ, and so our members, which means our various bodily parts, are all joined to Jesus Christ. What we do with them connects directly to Him. So if I go and take my body and pay someone for sexual intimacy, that doesn't just involve me. It doesn't just involve that person. It involves Christ, and because it involves Christ Jesus, it involves all who are joined to Him. In the whole abortion debate, you sometimes hear the advocates for abortion say, "Hey, my body, my choice." But of course, while it is their body, it's also connected to another body. And to pretend that it isn't is to ignore reality itself. And that's how it is with us and Jesus. Our bodies are united to Him in those baptismal waters, and so we've become together one body in the Savior. I can't ever say, "My body, my choice," because it's not just my body anymore. Verse 16. "Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For, as it is written, the two will become one flesh." The two are Adam and Eve in paradise, right? Genesis 2:24. But remember the rest of that verse? "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." When God Himself establishes marriage and gives Eve to Adam and Adam to Eve, the one flesh union is created. And as Jesus would later add, "What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder," Matthew 19, verse 6. The one flesh union from its foundation is intended to live inside marriage, but in sinful rebellion, you can twist it from its God-given setting and use it in a way God never ever intended, and that doesn't vitiate what it is. You can abuse it, but you cannot destroy what it does. Hence, "the two will become one flesh" is still true, even when it's not your wife, but a prostitute. The user of the prostitute still becomes one body with her, because that's just how God made the one flesh union to work. In other words, sexual intercourse is never just a release for you. It always has a consequence of union with another person. Whether you believe it or not, sexual intercourse has united you to them. Verse 17. "But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one person with Him." Joined via baptism in the name of Jesus, you have been united to the Lord. You've become one spirit with Him, or one in spirit with Him. The way that Ambrosiaster explained it in the 4th century is this: the Spirit of God is shared between God and human beings when we are united to the Lord Jesus. Verse 18. "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body." Fight or flight is a very deep response inside us when confronted with danger. Do you stay and face it down, or is it the sort that you just do better to run away from as fast as you possibly can? Paul says that sexual immorality should not be fought. It should be fled. He means, of course, the opportunities and the occasions for it. We're weak. We struggle against a natural desire that has gotten outsized in our fallen state. And so the best response is not to try to wrestle the desire into submission, but to remove yourself from the temptation. Think of Joseph running away in Genesis. After all, as Proverbs 6 verse 27 asks, "Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned?" The temptation to sexual immorality is like that. Think about David and Bathsheba. He could have observed, "Uh-oh, I can see that woman down there taking a bath," and turned away, fled. Instead, he watches. And the more he watches, the more he wanted, until he finally took what wasn't his and even killed for it and lied. Now, I must confess that I do not know what St. Paul means when he says that every other sin is outside the body. Honestly, that doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm sure that the Spirit led Paul correctly to say that. Chrysostom thought at least it meant this: it is a sin against one's own self in a way that other sins are not. And I think experience teaches that it really is one of the most damaging of sins. Some folks think the New Testament is just obsessed with its warnings against sexual immorality, yet it's obviously an area where fallen human beings really do struggle and where they end up hurting themselves and other people significantly. It's an area of huge self-deception. And Paul simply lays it bare here. It only hurts you folks. Run! Don't stand there. Run away. Verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body. Remember, every time he asks, "Do you not know?" he's kind of saying, "Pity sakes, don't you remember when I taught you this?" So one of the things Paul had taught them when he founded the church there was that being baptized into Jesus Christ, their very bodies had become temples of the Holy Spirit who came to take up residence inside of them, a gift given by God. Isn't that exactly what Peter said would happen on the day of Pentecost? Remember, they were all worked up after his sermon about what on earth they could do since they've been convicted of having killed the one God sent to save them and whom he later raised from the dead. Peter's solution, Acts 2, 38 and 39 again, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God calls to himself." So the one Spirit that is shared with you and the Lord is indeed the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given you via baptism into his name. Now, remember back in chapter 3, it was the congregation as a whole that was referred to as the temple of God? But here, the focus is not on the congregation per se, but on its individual members. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit too. And that means, he concludes, you are not your own. That was the root of the problem. They were treating their bodies as their own to do with as they saw fit. Paul says, folks, that's not reality. Reality is that baptism gives you a share in the Spirit of Christ, and your body has become sacred. It's the dwelling place of God the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. And that gift came at such a cost. Don't you ever forget it. You, body and soul, have been purchased at great price, the suffering and death of the Son of God. What's his grand conclusion? So glorify God in your body, or possibly even with your body. Your body, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, finds its true being in glorification of the Trinity. Hey, that's what you were created for. It's what he redeemed you for. That's why he poured his Spirit into you. The opposite of belonging to yourself and just doing your own thing is to remember the purchase price of your body and soul, and remember who dwells in you, and then use every member of your body to give glory to him. That's where we'll close today, people loved by God. Next time, we move into the great marriage chapter of the book, chapter 7, and Paul deals with the matter of conjugal rights and who has the authority over whose body. His answer is way before its time. Till then, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.